going to play us a song this morning, and then Sister Caroline's going to sing for us. He rides a bus to church, and he's got a touch of the Lord on his life, and the Lord's going to use him to be a great preacher one of these days. He's been preaching some, and thank the Lord for that. It's good to meet a young person with some sense, isn't it? You know, most young people have no sense. They got a grown body and no brain, or a little bitty brain. And I'll tell you, the smartest young person, we was in a teenage class a while ago, and we had a great class. All you teenagers should have been in there. Should have been there. Mamas, daddies, put them in that class. That's where they're supposed to be. And we taught about how that if you'll use your head and take the advice of older people, you'll come out a whole lot better in life. Because they've made some mistakes, and they can keep you from making mistakes. The smartest teenager in here is the one who realizes you're dumb. That's right. The dumbest teenager in here is the one that thinks you know everything. Ain't that right? That's right. Amen. Go ahead, brother. High-class European church music there, buddy. Amen. That is not Jungle Thump. There's a major difference. That gets a hold of your heart. Jungle Thump gets your flesh. Amen. All right, go ahead.
The song I'm going to sing this morning is It's a Greater Yes, and or A Greater Yes. You know, I myself, and I'm sure many of you have prayers that you've prayed for maybe even years, months, years. But God's got an answer, you know, and there's times I think that He's not answered a prayer. And looking back, it wasn't the answer that I wanted, but it was what was best for me. And He has our best interests at heart. So no matter what you're praying for, just keep praying because He's got the answer.
Hey, I believe that. That's true.
Planted deep within your heart, you pray in faith and wait for God to move. The time passes and you wonder, did He really win the court? Should I even have prayed that prayer at all?
You never pray a prayer. Father will not answer. He can't ignore His child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing,
Amen. Praise God. Well, that'll speak to your heart there, won't it? I want to remind you to be back tonight. It's very important everybody be here this evening. You just break the ice and get your heart softened up on Sunday morning. Sunday night, come back. The Lord can really speak to your heart tonight. Our Sunday night services are just the best place around this part of the country to be. Open up your Bible to Proverbs chapter 18. I'm going to bring you a message this morning from the book of Proverbs, the great book of wisdom in the Old Testament. If you've never read the book of Proverbs, I challenge you, read it this year. Read the book of Proverbs. Anybody in here can read Proverbs. 18:24. Look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and verse number 24. I'd like to read verse 24 to you this morning and bring the message I felt like the Lord's laid on my heart. Look at verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the dearest friend I ever had. Looking at a song here. And the dearest friend I ever had, or ever will have, is Jesus. Everywhere I go, if you ever go anywhere with me, you know this. When I pay a bill at a restaurant, or when I get gas, or groceries, or buy something at a store, or whatever, I always tell people, you remember, Jesus loves you. And they'll look back and look at me and say, I thank you, most of the time. And I'll say, He's the best friend you'll ever have. Jesus is my best friend. And He wants to be your best friend. Every need you have in your life this morning can and will be and should be met by your relationship with Jesus Christ. In Him is righteousness, wisdom, redemption, and sanctification. When I'm making a lot of money, some people's your friend. When I'm broke, they're not your friend. Your friends come and go out here in this world. The bad thing about having a lot of money is you don't even really know who your friends are. Poor people know who theirs are. Somebody said, prosperity will make you a bunch of friends. Adversity will tell you who your real friends really are. A friend won't forsake you in a jam. And when you have trouble in your life, you don't really lose friends. I had a man tell me one time, I was talking to Ralph Sexton Jr., a friend, preacher in Asheville, and many of y'all know Ralph. Great man, a lot of wisdom. And I was telling him, I said, boy, Ralph, I've lost some friends. He said, Danny, you ain't lost no friends. He said, you don't lose friends. You just find out who the real ones really were. That's the truth. That's the truth. And I found out the Lord's my friend. I found out the Lord is my friend. Said this woman one time, there's a man, there's a big crowd of people standing around and looking up, and they was looking down there, and there's a tragedy, and there was lights flashing, and EMS trucks, and police tape, and blue lights, and they said, what in the world's happened? What in the world's happened? And a woman had jumped off that bridge and committed suicide into the river. And a little boy asked his daddy, he said, Daddy, why did she jump off the river? Off into the river, off the bridge. He said, she didn't have any friends, son. And he said, well, she ain't going to find no friends in the river. That's true. Ain't that right? You sure ain't going to find no friends by doing committing suicide. Your best friend this morning is Jesus Christ. He is not your enemy. He is your friend. They cuss his name daily. All right, I got a clip I'm thinking about using from in the youth rally of this wicked lady comedian named Kathy Griffin. She's a very, very evil, evil, wicked person. And she got some kind of award, and she stood up and she held it up like this, and she said, a lot of people get up and thank Jesus when they get an award like this in Hollywood. She said, I just want everybody to know, nobody had less to do with this than Jesus. And he didn't give me this, and he's not my God, and just blasphemy. I want to tell you something. That girl wouldn't have a bite of food put in her mouth if Jesus didn't care about her. Even though she cusses his name, she wouldn't have air to breathe if the Lord Jesus, and she'd be in hell right now if Jesus hadn't loved her enough to die for her sin. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm preaching on what a friend we have in Jesus. This old song here says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. The second verse says, have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The next verse says, are we weak? Are you weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You're not going to beat the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He's your friend. Friend will not forsake you in a jam. They say a friend is somebody who runs in when the whole world runs out. And that's the Lord. I want to say a few things about it this morning. The first thing I want to say is he's a special friend. He's a special friend. Many people feel like they have no friends. They're surrounded by people. You know, a lot of people out in Hollywood and stuff are surrounded by people but say, I have no friends. You can be lonely in a crowd. You ever been that way? You can be lonely in a crowd of people because there's nobody there that's really your friend. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, 7 and verse 26, he's holy and separate from sinners. He's eternal. He's wise. He's strong. He never did anything wrong. You know something about the Lord? You know why he's my special friend? Because he knows all about me and still loves me anyway. A lot of people, they like you at first till they find out your faults and they find out your mistakes and they find out your failures and they say, I ain't fooling him no more. He's this. I ain't fooling her no more. They're this. The Lord knows everything about you and still cares about you anyway. Well, help me just a little bit back there. The Lord knows everything about you and cares about you anyway. Isn't that wonderful? You know what the definition of a friend? The definition of a friend is somebody with whom you can think out loud. You ever been around somebody and say, boy, if they really knew how terrible I've been and all I've done, they wouldn't have nothing to do with me. You can think out loud with the Lord. I prayed to the Lord before, and I prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm mad, I'm mean, I'm no count, and he still cares about me anyway. You can tell him. They know you're trying to impress him with words, you know, because he knows anyway, but he cares about you anyway. I heard a man say this one time, and it's amazing, but think about how good this is. You can't do anything that'll make him love you any more than he does. People say, boy, if I do this, this, the Lord really loves you. You can't do nothing that'll make him love you any more than he does. And listen to this. You can't do anything that'll make him love you any less. But if that ain't shouting ground, I'm telling you, that ain't worth coming to church for. You tell me what is. I can't do nothing that'll make him love me anymore, and I can't do nothing that'll make him love me any less. Lord of God, that's unconditional love. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. You know what? That's what makes me want to please Him. That's what makes me want to serve Him. I don't live for the Lord this morning because I'm scared He'll knock me over the head and put me in hell if I don't. I serve Him because I love Him for caring enough about me when I didn't deserve it. Lord of God, that's a friend right there. Don't you ever say that you don't have a friend. You have a friend in Jesus. You can tell Him anything, and it don't change His love for you. When you fail, He loves you. When you succeed, He loves you. When you're good, He loves you. When you're bad, He loves you. It's not all right to be bad. It's always a problem. But I'm telling you, it never affects His love. A friend is a person that you can think out loud. He's a special friend. I like that song that says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our trouble. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He's a special friend today. I'm glad He's my friend. I'm glad He's your friend. You can talk to Him. You can pray to Him. You can believe in Him. He's a special friend. Hallelujah. Let me say secondly this morning, He's a sympathetic friend. Jesus is a sympathetic friend. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. All the way through the gospel, the Lord's walking down through there. He's not up there with a bunch of hot shots, rich people having a party. He's down here with the blind man. He's a sympathetic friend. And He's down here with this blind man. And He's down here putting His hands on his eyes. And then the blind man can see. He's not up there with a bunch of rich politicians riding around in a Lamborghini somewhere and drinking cocktails and champagne. He's down here with a man that had a withered hand like this. And he couldn't hurt it. There's Jesus. That's where you'll find the Lord. He cares, brother. He cares. He's a sympathetic friend. If the Lord Jesus was in Morganton this morning, he wouldn't be hanging around with people that have no need, have everything. You know where he'd be? He'd be with the down and out, with the poor, with the lonely, probably over here at the jail somewhere or at the hospital where people say, he's a sympathetic friend. I'm telling you, thank God, he cares. We got on bus route yesterday. I went with Miss Kim and Rhonda and them on their route yesterday. And boy, I tell you, we've seen some people that need help. Man, I'm telling you, we saw people need help. We went to a place where there was a hole in the floor, and one of them had put a piece of plywood laying on the floor, over the hole in the floor, so you wouldn't go through the floor. And we saw little old kids come out, one kid in the house sick with the flu, the other standing out in the yard. I've heard sometimes the trailer didn't have no underpinning in it. Listen, it's 20 degrees, it's cold yesterday out there, buddy. That wind going underneath and around, there's nowhere in the world they can stay warm. We have one family cap told me about, said they have six kids, no heat in the house except for the oven. Leave the oven on. You know what? At night, when them little kids lay down there and they lay down and go to sleep like that, the Lord Jesus is right there caring about them little boys and them little girls. He's a sympathetic friend. He's not some religious big shot riding around in something like the Pope Mobile, some fool thing like that. He's right down there where the drunk's in the gutter. He's right down there where the man's fell in the sand. He's down there at the crack house where the little girl's iced out and being abused and raped and taken advantage of. I'm telling you, he is a sympathetic friend. Amen. He touched the blind man by the side of the road. He touched the man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. John chapter 4, it was the woman at the well who had been married five times and was living with a man she wasn't married to. And the Lord was right there forgiving her of everything she had done wrong. I'm telling you, we ought to thank the Lord this morning. He's a sympathetic friend. I'm glad that He has sympathy on sinners when we're in trouble. You ought to shout about that. I'm telling you, you ought to shout about it. He has a personal interest in what you're in right now. Whatever kind of mess you're in, whatever kind of sin you're in, whatever kind of burden you've got, what your heart's broken about this morning, the Lord has a personal interest in what you're going through. One of the biggest mistakes you can make is going around thinking, oh my goodness, I can't talk to him. I can't talk to him. I'm not doing right. He'll kill me. I'm not doing right. The best thing you can do is talk to him. Run to Him. Run to Him. You can meet Him right here at this altar this morning and say, Lord, I'm believing You. I'm helping You. I know people that every time something goes wrong, they think a pill or a counselor can help them. And there is a place for counseling and there is a place for medicine. But they sometimes, you just need the Lord to speak peace to your soul. Amen? If your husband and wife are fighting, or if the kids are rebelling, or if you're getting in trouble, listen, it ain't a pill ain't going to fix that. We live in a generation that thinks, well, if you're up, you take a pill to calm you down. And if you're down, you take a pill to pep you up. And if you're sleepy, you take a pill, something to keep you awake. And if you can't sleep, you take a pill to make you sleep. We think the answer is in a pill. The answer is not in a pill. The answer, like one old preacher said, the answer is the gospel. Amen. That's the pill you need, brother. When you let the Lord love you just right and accept His love for you and trust Him, it'll do you more good than a pill will. Or a psychiatrist. Amen. I keep a little thing that Carrie was telling me this week. Is she in there? I think she's back there. She was telling me about one of them over there, the littlest. And going around singing. And the kids sometimes sing songs and they got it right, wrong, but they get it right. Well, little kid got up one time and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." See, that's wrong, but it's right. And God has a way of taking little kids and preaching through them to you and me. And they got it completely wrong, but it's right. That's an amazing thing about the Bible. And again, and she said, you know, we sing that song at camp the other day, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." And she said that one, little one over there this morning was going around all week saying, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." I said, "Amen, that's right. The joy of the Lord is my strength." Amen. And He don't charge you $150 an hour. Amen. I lay on the couch. One man said, "I'm the only person that ever lived spent $2,000 on a couch and still don't own it." Amen. Listen. Now you think about. You know, say, "Well, what seems to be your problem?" I go, "Well, I don't know. I'm having all these awful thoughts, and I feel guilty, and I want to kill my mom." And he says, "Well, what? Tell me about your childhood." "Well, when I was 5 years old, I wanted an electric train, and they didn't give me that electric train. I think it warped my personality, and it made me have hatred in my heart." That's the biggest bunch of junk I've heard tell of in my life. We can all go back to our childhood. Mom dropped me on my head when I was 2, and I ain't never been right since. We all got problems in our life. All of us are going right. Listen, that ain't what you... The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. That's right. The joy of the Lord is my strength. All right, listen, you need counseling this morning? Start sitting around counting your blessings. And you start thinking, "God's been good to me." And you start thinking, "I had food to eat today." And you start thinking, "My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus." And I start thinking, "I'm healthy. I'm saved. I've got food in my stomach. I've got heat in my house." That's a joy. That'll beat the shrink any day of the week. A shrink will just tell you you're not responsible for all your troubles. Put the guilt on somebody else. But I tell you what, He is a sympathetic friend. Let me say thirdly this morning. Thirdly, I want to say He's a faithful friend. The Lord's a faithful friend. He will always be there. I have people tell me, they say, "I'm afraid to make any friends because I got stabbed in the back by my last one." I've had people tell me, "I'm scared to get married because I've been betrayed and I'm afraid it'll happen again. I'm afraid to let myself care about somebody because I'm afraid they'll hurt me like I've been hurt in the past. I'm afraid to make friends. I'm just going to isolate myself." Let me tell you something. I don't care what comes down the pike. He's a faithful friend. He bears not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I don't know who in here is going... suffering, but I'm telling you today, thank God, hallelujah, praise His holy name, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend. He's a faithful friend. Let me say something to you this morning, friend. He'll always be there. Young people get their heart broke by a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know, each night I ask the stars up above, you know, all that stuff. Why must I be a teenager in love and all that? And listen, brother, you can get your heart broke, but never, ever, ever will he do you like that. Ever, 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 ever. Right now. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He's a faithful friend. Listen. When a woman's walking the floor at night with a little baby, and you're going back and forth like this, there's been a many of them. I heard my mom tell the story of how that she had me and my two sisters and all three of us with the flu, 102 fever. And of course, when we'd get it, she'd get it. And Daddy was who knows where. My dad was, he was a good provider. He worked hard, but he was raised like an animal up in West Virginia. He'd go to the store to get a loaf of bread and come back 2 days later. Before he got saved, he got straightened out. And when he finally got right, but when he was young, he was always out doing something. But he'd make money and put food on the table. And we didn't have no car. And my mom would walk the floor with a baby in this hand, a baby in that hand, and sit in the doctor's office. Her brother would come and get us and take us all to the doctor. And there'd be her sitting in the doctor. Back then, you'd have to sit in the doctor's office 2 hours before the doctor could even see you. And I remember Mom would say, she'd sit there and I'd have all three of y'all throwing up, burning fever, and sitting there. You know when it's like that? There's a friend slips up right beside you and is there. Does Jesus care? Does He care? Does He care when your heart is broke? Does He care when you've tried and failed? Does He care when you face the temptation and you failed Him and you sinned and you messed up? You said, God, I'm sorry, I'm ashamed of myself. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with our grief. Thank God there's a friend who's sympathetic and there's a friend who's faithful. Charles Wagle, he was a great preacher. He come home one day and found a note on the table, said, I don't love you, I don't want to be married no more. His wife disappeared. And you talk about hurt, that hurts. You talk about a knife in your stomach and twisting it, that's a pain. And old Charles Wagle went over and sat down at the piano and he wrote, I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so kind and true. I'd love to tell you how He saved my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And that song went all over the world. You know why? Because when you're right down, when you're hurting and nobody's there, He'll be there. When I preached my daddy's funeral, my dad died on Sunday morning. You've heard me tell the story. He got coon hunting all night. He worked all day, stay and work all evening, chop wood, work 8 hours in the plant, and chop wood and mess around with dogs, and then go hunting all night. He'd come in at 5 o'clock in the morning. And my daddy, I get that from him. He's worse than me. He used to have all night, all day, and work, go back to work, and like he didn't even know what it meant to get tired. And he come home, got in bed at 5:30 in the morning, told Mom, he said, you go on to Sunday school, I'll be there for preaching. He never come, never come, never come. That day, me and the girls, Carrie was about, I don't know, she's just 2 years younger than me. She was 12, 11, 13, 14. I don't know, what something like that. And the other two was just little bitty. We went to the fish camp to get something to eat. And I don't know how they found out where I was at. And somebody come back there and they said, Danny, you need to come to the telephone. And I ran there and picked up the phone, and it was an EMS worker who they all knew me anyway, and they said, "Dan, you need to come on home." I said, "What's wrong?" Said, "Your daddy." I said, "What's wrong with him?" They said, "Just come on home." I said, "Is he all right?" He said, "No, he's not. He's gone." My dad fell dead from a heart attack. Right in the bedroom floor. Probably getting ready to come to church that morning. And I said, "Come on, girls, we need to get in the car." And they just canceled our order. We got in the car and started going down the road. And Chris and Corey's in the back seat. And I said, "Carrie, Daddy died while I go." And I forgot her reaction, but I was crying all the way down the road trying not to let them see it. And that was one of them days, you know, Sunday's a hard day anyway. And I laid in the bed that evening and bawled my eyes out. And I told them at church Sunday morning, I preached a half of a sermon. And I said, "I'm going to preach the rest of it tonight, so be here." And my head was killing me. You know how when you cry and cry and cry and your head's all stopped up in your head? That's the way it felt. And my kin folks started coming in. They bringing food in the house. I had a whole crowd full of people. And I said, "Bye, y'all. I'm going to church." And they stayed home. And I went to church and preached that night. I don't know what I said. I didn't do much good. We had a watch night service. It was on December 30th. And we had a watch night service on the 31st, which was Monday night. And we had a watch night service. My dad was laying a corpse in the funeral home up there in Marion. And then we had the funeral, I think it was on Wednesday. And a bunch of them come down from Ohio and West Virginia. And I preached my dad's funeral. I still got it on tape. You know what helped me? You know what helped me? Somebody said, "Boy, you must be awful cold-hearted to stand up there at your daddy's funeral." And it wasn't that at all. My friend showed up. And all in times of traveling, trying to encourage other people, it paid off then. Because he was right beside me. And the Lord just came. And I can't even begin to tell y'all. I can't even begin to tell y'all the heartaches that I've been through. And every single time, my friend was there. He won't turn your back on you. He won't turn his back on you when you're in trouble. He sticks up for you when you're not there. He don't go off and gossip about you like so-called friends in this world. He's not your friend to your face and then your enemy when your back's turned. He's your best friend you'll ever have. I'm closing this morning. I want to tell you something. I don't care what you've done or where you've been. You've got a friend this morning in Jesus, and He wants to help you. Would you let Him? I want you to just bow your head in prayer. The pianist is coming. Every head bowed and every eye closed right now. Just for a moment this morning. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I guarantee you, maybe there's someone here who's never known the Lord Jesus as your friend. You might need to just come to this altar. Just get out of your seat. Make your way down here. Make things right. This is our invitation. We're not going to sing. We're not going to have a song. We're just going to pray a little while. Come to your friend this morning. Come on, teenagers, mamas, daddies, young people. You got a heavy burden? Got something on your heart? Come on. Just get up out of your seat and come right now. That's right. That's right. Okay, just come on right now. You need a friend. You need a friend. And you got one. You got one in Jesus. Amen. Some of you ladies pray for these girls. Some of you ladies pray for this lady coming here. We need some of the ladies of our church, if you would please, to come and pray for this sister over here. Some of the ladies in our church, if you don't mind, please. Ladies, this sister needs prayer. Come on. She's got a friend. You've got a friend. You've got a friend in Jesus. This is our invitation. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Right now. This is your chance. Just get up out of your seat. Young man, teenager, young lady, young boy, mamas, daddies, come to Jesus right now. Right now. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come right now? Would you? This is your chance. Got a problem? Bring it to Jesus.